Informed viewers, welcome to this week's episode of Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, the conclusion of a two-part series where we feature the thoughts of famed American environmental advocate Lester Brown on global ecological destruction and the serious consequences to communities worldwide. Mr. Brown holds a master's degree in agricultural economics from the University of Maryland, USA, and in public administration from Harvard University, USA. For over 40 years, he has dedicated himself to work in environmental conservation and economic sustainability. Mr. Brown has authored and co-authored more than 50 books, including the best-selling Plan B series and his 2011 release, World on the Edge, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse. His books have been translated into approximately 40 languages. Regarded as the father of modern grassroots environmentalism, the Washington Post says he is one of the most influential thinkers in the world, and the Telegraph of Calcutta calls him the guru of the environmental movement. He has also received numerous honorary degrees and prizes, such as the MacArthur Fellowship, the United Nations Environment Prize, and the Worldwide Fund for Nature Gold Medal. Lester Brown has formulated what he calls Plan B to save our planet and civilization. It is called Plan B because Plan A is simply, as Mr. Brown puts it, business as usual, or no change as to how we treat the Earth. Let's now hear about some of the components of Plan B.
Business as usual is no longer a viable option over the longer term.
The question is, what do we do about this? That's why we developed Plan B. One, cut carbon emissions. 80%, not by 2050, which is what politicians like to talk about, but by 2020. We didn't ask the question, what will be politically feasible or politically acceptable? We asked instead the question, starting with the science, how fast do we have to cut carbon emissions if we want to save the Greenland ice sheet? And I use the Greenland ice sheet because it's sort of a metaphor for the Earth itself. Scientists have told us that if the Greenland ice sheet melts entirely, sea level rises 7 meters. But even a 1 meter rise in sea level would put half of the rice land in Bangladesh underwater. It would put a large piece of the Mekong Delta underwater, and Vietnam is the world's second largest rice exporter. There are 19 other rice-growing river deltas in Asia where rice production would shrink with just a 1 meter rise in sea level. Think of it. Ice melting on an island in the far North Atlantic can shrink the rice harvest in Asia where half the world's people live. We're living in a very complex world. We have to eradicate poverty and then restore the economy's natural support systems. The world now needs to do a great job of reforestation. Each year, the world's forests are shrinking. We have less tree cover than the year before, and we can't continue that indefinitely. The world's soils are eroding, including the soils on our cropland. We see today the formation of huge dust storms in northern and western China and western Mongolia early each spring. So we're losing topsoil big time.
Switching to sustainable energy sources can help reduce toxic greenhouse gases and other forms of air pollution, thus helping to mitigate climate change. In World on the Edge, Lester Brown notes that the North African nation of Algeria maintains that just by producing solar power in its deserts, the country could generate sufficient electricity to meet the energy needs of the entire world economy. In 2009, several European firms established the Desert Tech Foundation to build solar thermal generation facilities in North Africa and the Middle East to provide power to the countries producing the electricity, as well as to supply Europe with energy.
Let me talk for a minute about new sources of energy. As of today, there is about 13,000 megawatts of geothermal energy in the world being used for electricity. Solar generated electricity, the capacity is about 37,000 megawatts. Wind, 240,000 megawatts. For the last decade, wind has been growing at nearly 30% per year worldwide. And it's beginning to make a huge difference. In some places, wind is an important source of energy. It's the major source of electricity now. For example, in the three northernmost states in Germany, from 40 to 60% of the electricity is coming from wind farms.
Mr. Brown says that the costs of global warming and environmental degradation are typically not incorporated into any given product's market price, and thus carbon taxes are needed to achieve an environmentally honest market.
The key to restructuring the world energy economy, shifting from fossil fuels, oil and coal and natural gas, to clean sources of energy, wind and solar and geothermal, is to restructure the tax system. The market does many things well, but one thing it does not do well is to incorporate indirect costs in market prices. Market prices include only the direct costs. For example, in the United States, when we buy a gallon of gasoline, it costs nearly $4 a gallon. That covers the cost of pumping the oil, getting the oil to a refinery, making the gasoline, getting the gasoline to the local service station. It does not cover the cost of climate change. It does not cover the cost of treating respiratory illnesses from breathing the polluted air. When you include these indirect costs in the price of gasoline, it goes from $4 a gallon to $12 a gallon. We have deluded ourselves in letting the market set the price into thinking that burning oil or burning coal is cheap. It is not. It is very costly. And we've only paid part of the bill so far. The big part of the bill will be coming due in the years ahead. It's already coming due now in many situations.
In World on the Edge, Mr. Brown calculates the budget needed for global implementation of Plan B to be about $200 billion. Compared to the size of the U.S. military budget, this is indeed a relatively small figure.
When we look at the U.S. budget, we see $700 billion for military purposes. That $200 billion we need to eradicate poverty and restore the economy's natural support systems, reforestation, etc., that's less than a third of the U.S. military budget. It's only an eighth of the global military budget. We can't say we don't have the resources to do what needs to be done. We do. We know what needs to be done, and we have the resources to do it. What it's going to take is a lot of NGOs, like the ones I represent and work with in the States, pushing for change. And what we're talking about now is not just saving some environmental system. We're talking about the future of civilization itself. Because no civilization has ever survived the ongoing destruction of its natural support systems, nor will ours.
Compared to a vegan diet, a meat diet uses up to 17 times as much land, 14 times as much water, and 10 times as much energy. And if all the grains currently used to feed livestock globally were instead reserved for humans, the entire hungry and malnourished population of the Earth could be fed.
There are two good reasons for us to eat less meat and more plant foods. One is the health reason. In the United States, we have obesity, and much of that's from consuming too much fat and fat-rich livestock products. We have problems with heart disease from that. So moving down the food chain and consuming less fat-rich livestock products would make us healthier. It also would make the planet healthier because it reduces the demand on the world's grain supplies. The amount of grain required to produce a kilogram of meat, whether it's poultry or pork or beef, is 3, 4, 5, 6 pounds. So it takes a lot of grain to produce meat and milk and eggs as well. It's a fairly simple matter of just consuming less meat and more plant products. And it's not a major sacrifice. We clearly need to move down the food chain and consume less particularly fat-rich livestock products.
Livestock production is the world's single largest emitter of methane, which is 72 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in terms of heating the atmosphere over a 20-year period. Also, methane dissipates out of the atmosphere in about 12 years, whereas carbon dioxide stays for thousands of years. Supreme Master Qinghai often speaks about the importance of the organic vegan diet in eliminating shorter-lived greenhouse gases such as methane from the air, as in this June 2011 video conference hosted by the Supreme Master Qinghai International Association in Mexico City, Mexico, titled, From Crisis to Peace, The Whole Universe is Blessing Us.
The founder of the Earth Policy Institute, Lester Brown, who is a respected U.S. environmental leader, stated that climate change is happening so fast right now that we need to reduce emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, 80% by 2020 to protect global food supplies even. Just food supplies, even. Not 80% by 2050, as suggested before, which is the date discussed by many politicians, but 80% now, I mean soon, by 2020, maximum. Because if we lose food security, our civilization could collapse. Moral standard even could collapse. People's health could deteriorate. Happiness could also collapse. Nation could collapse. Every other things might also collapse. Lester Brown and others point out that the great Mayan civilization in Mexico may have fallen when it lost control over its food supply. Climatologists say that we are facing the same danger now, today. If it happened before, it could happen again. So, how do we reduce greenhouse gas emissions 80% by 2020? How do we do that? How do we keep the global temperature at safe levels? There is a solution. A few months ago, the United Nations proposed that the best way to bring about cooling, rather than focusing on carbon dioxide, would be to reduce the shorter-lived global warming agents. These include methane, black carbon, and ground-level ozone. And how? Again, the fastest, cheapest way to do this is to stop raising animals for human consumption.
We thank you, Lester Brown, and your colleagues at the Earth Policy Institute for analyzing the root causes of civilization's current crisis and developing Plan B as an action strategy for humankind to follow to protect our planet. May you successfully continue your invaluable research on preserving our world and safeguarding communities worldwide in the years ahead. For more information on Lester Brown, please visit www.earth-policy.org. Hard copies and free-to-download PDF versions of Lester Brown's books, including World on the Edge, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse, are available at www.earth-policy.org/books. Pleasant viewers, thank you for watching this week's episode of Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. May the everlasting light and love of heaven touch all beings.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com. /PE.